Talk Radio.
Welcome to Song Talk Radio, the show with songwriters talking to other songwriters about the craft of songwriting. We share tips, tools, and techniques, and together we all become better at writing songs. Dialing in from our headquarters in Toronto, I'm Neil Modi, and with me, my usual co-host, Phil Emery. How you doing, Phil?
Doing pretty good, calling in from St. John's, Newfoundland, the edge of the landmass, actually. That's sorry, right. Just a hop and skip away from Ireland, I guess, technically. But I'm excited to be here.
That's a mighty large hop to get across the Atlantic, but okay.
We have direct flights to Dublin now.
Dublin? Nice.
Yeah. Of course. Pretty cool. Yes. It's only 4 hours, so it's about the same time to London than is Toronto. It might be a little bit longer, but
it's closer than here to Vancouver, so you know.
Oh yeah.
It's like 5 hours, a big, isn't it? Yes, for sure. All right. And for everyone else, please send your comments and questions to at Song Talk Radio on Facebook or Instagram, or feedback at songtalk.ca for the email, and we'll share your thoughts on the show. And please visit songtalk.ca to see the show post for this episode, to find links to resources we mention, and to download lyric and chord sheets to follow along with the songs that we feature. Tonight, we're happy to welcome Canadian singer-songwriter Rachel Cousins to the show. How are you doing, Rachel?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight. And before we get to Rachel's great song, just another heads up about our songwriting challenge for 2025. This year, we're writing a song in an odd time signature. We're asking our listeners, please send in your answers to the challenge by November the 10th, 2025. It's coming up real soon, guys. Thanks, everyone, who sent in your songs so far. We have just this week published the first episode of Answers to the Challenge, which was my song for the challenge, which was a great episode. So be sure, if you're subscribed to our newsletter, you have got it in your inbox. Not, then check songtalk.ca. And
a whole bunch of time signatures in your song.
Yeah, I had a whole wacky bit of time changes in my song and stuff. But I did comment during last week's episode how I felt like there was still a sort of, you know, typical 4/4 song in my back pocket of this. But as much as I kind of didn't feel like doing that, maybe, or didn't have the time to do that, I did have, let's say, 2 minutes worth of time to throw my lyric into Suno, the AI song generating thing. And I asked it literally to create a goth rock version of this song. I actually gave Suno my lyrics and my chords. It ignored the chords, but it took the lyrics and made a gothic rock song a la Evanescence. I even gave it Evanescence as a starting point to do this song. And it literally took about 45 seconds for Suno to come up with something. Gave me a few options, and the one that I picked was such a banger of a song. Like, it was so good. It just made me laugh. It was like, wow, like to hear a song you've written and hear an AI just like take the lyric and drive it in a completely different direction that you had originally done with it is kind of remarkable. And to be honest, it maybe it's because I specified goth rock. So I went with like this really interesting modal chord progression in the chorus, and I kind of want to lift that chord progression and write like an instrumental thing and take it to my band and be like, hey, you guys want to do like a goth rock song? Can do something that's like this, because it was like modally interchanged between, you know, parallel minors and majors and things, and doing some really interesting things. But it was pretty cool.
Wow.
So yeah. And I've created a public link to that Suno performance, so we can throw it up on that episode. Like, if you're curious.
Just to see what Suno would do with it. Have you ever played around with any of the AI song generators or lyric generators just to see what happens?
No, I have a pledge to myself. I've never opened ChatGPT or AI, and I don't even know what it looks like, and I don't know how it works, but I've made a pledge to myself to never use it. So yeah, I've never used it, and specifically with my when it comes to like my art and stuff, I don't know, it kind of freaks me out a little bit, so I wouldn't. Yeah, I'm a little, I don't know what I have heard of AI. I just, yeah, I haven't used it, and I don't plan to. Yeah.
right
It's interesting, you know, there used to be this, these services, and I, they probably still exist, but it's very common in the back of music magazines, there'd be an ad, and you could send people, usually down in Los Angeles or Nashville, your lyrics, and they would basically just throw together a song with your lyrics. And they wouldn't change the lyrics, but they would have these studio guys, and they would probably just do a fairly straightforward country song, and would do it to your lyrics. And it was interesting because the performances were really good, and the music was, you know, quite competent because these are studio guys. You know, they can knock these things out without any trouble. But the lyrics were kind of awkward because they were just written by normal people, or they were poetry that didn't kind of lend itself to songs. But in some ways, this is a way of, you know, if the only thing that you have is lyrics and you can't seem to find musicians, and it's easier to find musicians because I think there's more meetups and things like that than there used to be. But it can be a good way of hearing your song actually finished off as opposed to just being on a piece of paper the way so many people's lyrics used to be. So it's a little bit like it used to be in the old days, but definitely not the same.
Certainly different. I mean, for me, lately I've been using more Gemini and ChatGTP just as a sort of touch point for like brainstorming ideas for lyrics, especially, right? And just to sort of get some feelers out there. You're not going to take everything. You're not going to take anything that it does verbatim, right? But you actually get the ideas rolling and take some suggestions and be like, oh, yeah, that's kind of interesting. We'll look into that a little bit more. But, you know, and you could very well sort of do some research online and read some wiki articles and things like that. But I think, you know, with the AI, it just sort of gets you there a little bit faster. It's still, you know, you still have to be the checks and balances person. You still have to be the person with the overall creative vision and the creative control, right? Yeah. And say yes to this and no to that, and yes to this, and we're gonna take that and we're gonna spin it a slightly different way. You know, like when this thing came up with that goth rock thing, it is so, in some ways it's kind of a middle of the road goth rock thing. Like it sounds very derivative of Evanescence or some other kind of, you know, that similar. I've played it for a friend of mine and he mentioned another band who it sounded almost exactly like them. And it was like, yeah, this is amazing, but still kind of interesting.
Fun technique, if ever you're stuck for ideas, is to take three dice, and you roll three dice, and you have a book. And the first dice will be the page number, and it works better if you have like one of those Dungeons and Dragons, you know, 30-sided dice. And the first one would be the page number, and then the second dice would be the line number, and then the third one would be the word number. And that's just a way of you kind of grabbing words at random.
Huh.
And as a way of sparking ideas, because sometimes, you know, sometimes nothing is just firing, and you need to generate some ideas, and that can be kind of a fun thing, because sometimes you'll find interesting connections you wouldn't normally find.
Yeah, that's all. People have like we did a songwriting challenge on the At Home Songwriting Group that Chad Shank runs last year, and he had it was a deck of cards. He said he literally got this off of Amazon, and they're basically like they're not one word prompts, but they're like phrase prompts or narrative sort of prompts, and you just pick one at random. And then he had an online dice generator which he showed us in real time and came up with four. We rolled four dice, six-sided dice, and this was your chord progression. So we came up with like a 1-5-4-6 kind of thing, right? So that was the challenge. It's like use this chord progression that we came up with in random, and we randomly picked this narrative starting point, and that was the challenge, which was kind of a cool way of doing it. And then that's something, you know, you don't have to be administering this to a group or whatever. That's something you can do yourself. Just to narrow the focus and get your thing. Yeah. Going.
I think Brian Eno did a lot of those kinds of things too, as a way of generating new ideas.
Right.
Well worth it.
Okay. And speaking of such things, our friends over at Song Studio, which is the week-long songwriting camp that Blair Packham and Alistair Bradley co-run. It's a week-long thing where they do songwriting workshops and performances and co-writes and things like that. And everyone who's been on our show who's been to it has absolutely loved it. So definitely check out songstudio.ca. They do these occasional, I think they do it on a monthly, to be honest, a song call where they just, they do a songwriting challenge every month. We ask you to write a song to a specific topic, and then they have a online meeting where they gather to listen to the songs. So they put one out just today, actually, and they're putting a little blurb in their write up here on using AI to write this song. So this is their approach to this AI issue. And it says in there, while we are all watching with interest as AI tools evolve, this call is not for songs generated by an AI tool. We want to encourage you to use your songwriting skills to write. And while you can use AI and other software as a songwriting tool, say to spark an interesting idea or look for rhyming words, we are not looking for songs with lyrics or melody generated by an AI. So again, that's where they're drawing the line, which I think is reasonable, right? It's like having a bad co-writer in a room.
It's true.
Right. That you can bounce some ideas off of, and that's kind of the extent of it. And then they're drawing the line certainly there. So I couldn't take my Suno song, for example, and submit it to their challenge.
So Rachel, do you ever do any songwriting contests or songwriting challenges, that kind of thing, to stretch? Or
no, I'm not really a competition person. I had a competitive childhood when it came to the arts and music and theater and stuff, and as a young adult and as an adult, I don't really subject myself to any competition or contest at all anymore. I really respect people who do it competitively, but I could never see myself doing anything when it comes to the arts competitively anymore. I have no
Yeah,
I don't know.
Well, what about just like a challenge where it's just a group of people, you know, working under the same set of constraints and then coming up with different answers? And there's no winners and losers. It's just a sharing.
Oh, yeah, that's totally different. I co-write all the time. I've done a lot of conferences where you're just given 2 hours with a group of three people and you're told to write a song and then the group switches and whatever. I've done a lot of that in my life and I love it just because I love co-writing. I think that it's a great way to find different words or different inspiration or different things that you can't think of yourself. I think other people is a great way to do that. I think that therefore challenges and stuff is just a great human connection thing when it comes to writing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Yeah. Well, certainly the, this song challenge, doing the, unusual time signatures has been a struggle for me. Just playing the notes, just working in 7/8 and 7/4, which I think may be too similar because it's hard to go from one to the other.
Mm.
But it's been a challenge. It's been good fun. So
interesting. Well, yeah, we look forward to hearing your answer, Phil, and of course to everyone else's. So listeners, when you send in your answers to the challenge, then shoot us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. Include an MP3, a lyric sheet along with the chords, ideally, and especially with the time signatures marked on there. If you're using multiple time signatures, then denote what time signatures you're using in each section. Check out the lyric sheet that we posted for my song last week, for an example, because all my sections are different time signatures. And a little blurb in the email about how you tackled this songwriting challenge. We'll read your narrative on the line on the air and play your song and then talk about it with some feedback and some reflections. So
it'll be good.
Yeah, with our listeners who send in some really really good songs.
Oh yeah, they're great.
Yeah. All right, that's it for the pre-show stuff. Okay, on to the main event. Bravely redefining her sound, Canadian singer-songwriter Rachel Cousins steps into new artistic territory with her fourth studio album, What Hasn't Killed Me. Known for her soaring vocals and radio-ready pop anthems, Cousins makes a notable and deliberate break from the mathematical precision of pop music to embrace the vulnerability and freedom of the expansive world of adult contemporary, a genre that allows the flexibility to mirror mirror her innermost truths. A raw and reflective coming-of-age project, What Hasn't Killed Me captures the turbulence, clarity, and unexpected grace of growing into adulthood. Across 9 tracks, Cousins threads together the intimacy of folk, grit of alternative soundscapes, and her pop instincts to create a sonic landscape as layered and human as the stories it holds. Tonight we'll be talking to Rachel about her song Little Help. Be sure to download the lyric sheet on the show post at songtalk.ca to follow along. Let's take a listen.
I'll get my house up on a hill someday and hang my gloves up from the fight. I'll find a peace that I have never known. For now I'm kept awake at night. I know I'm sent here for a reason, and what that is I haven't found. But I need something to believe in, and only I've shown up now. Well, I've been praying for a breakthrough and it hasn't come around. Some will go to church, throw it into work, or go dancing in a crowd. But all I've ever tried to do is work it out myself, and I'm starting to find I might need a little help. I call my mom to tell her my brother Pinky swear. I call my dad because the car broke down, and talk to a God when no one's there. Well, I've been praying for a breakthrough and it hasn't come around. Some will go to church, throw it into a, go dancing in a crowd. But all I've ever tried to do is work it out myself, and I'm starting to find I might need a little help. You think I have it all together? Yeah, you really think I'm doing better? Wish I could let dancing in a crowd. But all I've ever done is try to work it out myself, and I'm starting to find I might need a little help. Yeah, I'm starting to find I might need a little help.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've got it on your lyric sheet here as you wrote the lyrics, guitar and chords by Darcy Scott. Can you talk about the collaboration process there a little bit?
Yeah, this is one of like three co-writes out of nine on the album. The others I wrote by myself and composed by myself, but this one I really only had part in the lyrics. I wrote this one with Darcy Scott, who's one of my really good friends, and he's a brilliant musician from here. And we were like in the middle of something else, and we were, I don't know if we had just finished rehearsing something or writing something else, I have no idea, but he started playing this chord progression, and we just wrote the full song top to the bottom in like 45 minutes. Nice. And then I loved it so much, and I knew that it was like, it was something that I wanted to sing. We sang the original version once live at a show that we were both doing. And then when I went to California and worked on this album with my producer, Greg Wells, I brought up that I wanted Darcy to be playing the guitar on it. So he sent up a guitar track of him playing in a studio here at home, because I was away for a month. So he sent it up to Greg. We put that like in the session, and then we just had Darcy playing on the track. So from there, it was just really me laying my vocals and controlling that factor. But we did rewrite a whole bunch of lyrics, which a lot of people don't know. Greg had like this intuitive feeling that we could have done it even better than what it was, and he was right. And so we got on a Zoom one night that I was in California and just completely rewrote one of the verses and fiddled around with, or actually two of the verses, and just fiddled around with other stuff. And we made it even better, and we kept the stuff that we loved, and we like stood strong on what we loved. And yeah, then Greg just like, as a producer and as Greg Wells, he just did the thing and worked his magic and produced the whole track from there and played the rest of the instruments.
Did your producer, now did he say about the lyrics, or was that was sort of more of an internal decision?
He brought it up. Like when I played the original track, he brought up, like, I think that lyrics could be stronger in these places. And then it was just up to me and Darcy to FaceTime and rewrite the verses and make them better.
What were they, kind of really small, minute things, or like a word here, a word there, or was it like a kind of a bit of a tear down and rebuild?
One of the whole verses just changed completely. Like we rewrote an entire verse, and then like the first verse changed by a couple of lines. But the rest of it, like we really loved the chorus and we loved the bridge. So it was just a matter of like making the verses as strong as what the chorus and the bridge section were. Because the bridge specifically on this, like it hits really hard. And so just lyrically, we just wanted it to kind of measure up in a way.
Yeah, it's an important thing to be able to look at one's own work and go, you know, is it as good as it can be, and spend the time and going through, because this is such a wonderfully crafted song. Like all the lines just, they hit and they sort of bounce off each other so, so wonderfully, you know, and especially that chorus, it's classic, and especially like the, you know, the third and the fourth line, the way they kind of bounce off the first two is just so, so tasty. It's really nice. And the bridge. Interesting enough, I wanted to ask, what is a 4-minute song? So it's fairly long, but I kept on expecting to hear like musical tags between the sections, but it actually goes like from the chorus to the verse to the, you know, to the bridge. There's no sort of, you know, 8-bar guitar licks or anything like that. Did it have that initially, or was this always just sort of straight through?
Yeah, it was always a straight through song. I've never really been, I can't really think of songs that I have that have like a distinct, there's some that have like a really short little interlude, but no, this one was always like a straight through type of song. Sometimes live, I even chop it up more. Like that, the space, pardon me, from going into that second verse after the first double verse and the first chorus, going back in, there's like, I think there's 4 bars or something there. And I, when I do it live, sometimes I don't even sing the 4 bars. It's weird. Like music is never, it stopped being like mathematical to me a while ago. When I gave up pop music, I've kind of like forgotten about those things in a way. Yeah.
Yeah. Like clearly the words are very important to you. Right. And the melodies, cause like, it sounds like you guys sort of developed the melodies as well. Together, right? because the melody, especially in the chorus, is very strong. It like lifts up and it really flows beautifully, like Phil was saying. And the whole tag on the end, like there's a lot of words in your chorus. I think that's part of the reason it's a bit on the long side. It doesn't feel long, you know, like because you're kind of taking through the whole story and everything. So it doesn't feel tedious or anything like that. But there is a lot of content in the chorus, and it's a wonderful way to pay it off. I'm starting to find I might need a little help in the way you leave
it. What a great
hanging
line.
Hanging off. To the listener on the first chorus, but on the second chorus, you can even feel it rising up into the bridge, right? Which is great. And then the bridge hits, and the bridge is actually in some ways the most intense part of the song. Like it's the, like I say, it's lyrically it hits the hardest, and it kind of spins to the point of view a little bit, just like a bridge should do. And then of course the quiet chorus after it, which is always a perfect way to when you're going to deliver something heavy, then you know, follow it up with something light, right?
What's so nice about the bridge is the verses and the chorus are me, I, and the bridge is the first time you talk about you. Mm-hmm. But it's so nice because you think I have it all together, but you don't actually say you. But by saying think I have it all together, you're implying another person suddenly. And it kind of gives that nice sort of separation, not only musically, but conceptually with the rest. And it's, you know, it's a subtle thing. And most people will just go, oh, that's kind of cool. But I love those little things that, you know, us song nerds sort of pick up on and go, oh, that is so cool. Yeah, it's a wonderfully way of bringing in a different aspect of the not the story. It's not really a story, but of the concept without the content, being, you know, or instead of saying, "Do you think I have it all together?" Just by saying, "Think I have it all together," it's you just sort of suddenly bring a second person into it, and it's really, really cool.
Thank you.
So on the initial write, then were there a lot of, like you say, you wrote it in 45 minutes. Was there a lot of chicken scratches on the paper? You know, like a lot of things that were rejected right away, and then rewrite, or did it all just kind of pour out as it was, or in its completed state?
The first write kind of just happened. A lot of this album happened that way. Like the first draft was kind of the draft. Like it just would happen. But it did just kind of fall out naturally the way it happened. I won't leave a song. Yeah, recently it is. Like, there was once a time where writing for me would take hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. But I kind of, like, think there's any reason that I need to be, like, 5 hours in and freaking out. Like, it's just, it does no good for my psyche, and it doesn't do anything good for, like, my craft. So lately, like, this whole album was written so quickly. Like, everything was so fast, and, like, Deserve More was written in... Watch Your Mouth was written in 45 minutes. Like, that was under an hour, right? And that was... What's on the record was the original draft, like, was the first thing that I wrote. So it does happen recently for me, but it wasn't always like that. But I think that it just kind of happens more with growth and learning how you naturally are creative, you know?
I think it's also important to grab the inspiration. Like when the flame hits, is grab it and do as much as you can at that minute. Don't go, oh, this is good, I'll work on it later, because you never get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And I still fall to that just because time is limited sometimes. But yeah, because I think they always say, oh, those God songs where they just come out and, you know, suddenly everything's great. But it's, you know, it's, you have to grab that inspiration or it will go away. And you can get something back, but it's a lot of work and sometimes it's not as good. So.
Yeah, what I find as I grow as a songwriter too, that you're the percentage of your first decisions that are actually good increases. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like when you're starting out, the idea is you're hitting off right off the bat. The first lyrics you write down are often, you know, not that great, and you have to spend hours and hours rewriting it. But as you grow, you know, the first thing that comes out is like, hey, this is actually pretty good. Mm-hmm. right away. Mm-hmm. Which was a great way. But of course you do have to sort of come at it with a critical eye and a critical ear. Mm-hmm. You know, I think at least I usually have to give it a day or two, at least maybe 2 or 3 days, and then come back and see what I've recorded, see what I've written down, and be like, was this really actually good, or was it just me kind of, you know, fleeting away on something? Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's important too. There's always the inspiration and the initial sort of, you know, yeah, just sort of spilling out of that emotion, and then there's a way, because this song does seem like honestly you did go through it with a fine-tooth pen and kind of, you know, finalize some of those details, because everything just kind of, you know, falls in place really nicely. There's nothing kind of awkward or clunky about it, you know.
We did a show a couple of weeks ago about things that, you know, starting out songwriters often do. And one of them, mm-hmm, was saying, you know, having too many ideas. And this song really is a very clear one idea, like a one concept all the way through. And what's really nice is each verse is very focused on one thing. You know, like verse two is like, I call people, my mom, my brother, my dad, or God. Like, not only is a song about one thing, but each verse is very clearly about one thing, and which is why it works so well. So, yeah. Great tune. Now, what's your process like generally? Are you someone who's carrying around a notebook and putting down ideas or things that you hear, or you just kind of start playing and see what happens?
So I never stop writing. Like, I'm writing something every hour of every day, like not necessarily a song, but I'm writing something down literally every hour of every day, because there's just something, I look at so many things in one day and there's something bound to click in my brain or like be inspired. I always have notebooks on me. I have so many blank like sketchbooks just because I need to have them in all places. My notes app, my voice memos, they're constantly just like being used. But when it comes to like writing a song, I have this like intuition that I'm going to write, like something's going to happen. I used to be so freaked out about writing and be like, why am I not writing a good song every day? And da 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 da. And I think that there's certain people that I know that literally can write a good song every day, and have it be a really strong song, but that's not everybody. Like, that they're kind of like, they're just not like, you're an alien. Do you know what I mean? And so I feel like when it comes to my process now, it's like trusting that feeling of like something's about to happen. And then normally, especially when it came to this album, like in the apartment in California, I would sit down in the nighttime with the guitar that Greg let me borrow, and I would just sit in the floor and like play. I hit voice memo and I just improv for so long. And then once something kind of happens or I do something that I like, then it's just running with that. And then all of a sudden I'm like, I'm constantly humming when I'm improvising, just getting something flowing. And then it just is kind of happening. And like, I won't start writing first. I'll have my voice memo going while I'm just playing and letting myself play in it. And sometimes I'll say cool things and I'll write that down, and that's how I start writing. And then if my brain really can't come up with like a word, I don't know who I learned it from or where I heard it, but I put my pen in my hand and I let my hand just like run around a page, like what mediums do. I don't pay attention to my hand, and I just let it kind of free flow around while I'm thinking, because the hand to brain connection does something interesting for writers. I think authors do that or something, but I do that like every time, if my brain just needs help with wording. And then occasionally if I need a rhyme, I'll like go to Rhyme Zone, or you find like a good book that has things like that in it, like rhyming or replacement words or different ways to say something. But that's normally my process. Like, that's kind of how it was the whole album. It was just me improvising, and then the song kind of flips out onto a page kind of thing.
You said word replacement. Is there books that do word replacement, or are you just using sort of like fiction books and using that as a way of discovering words?
Yeah, I do love reading. But like there have been some reads in my life where I have, like, honestly, it's kind of nerdy to say this, but like also the dictionary is kind of dope, like for just things like in general. But like I do love reading, and I read mainly fiction when I do read. So sometimes I find good things in there. I love listening to like random people on the internet that are very intelligent and very smart and use big words. Just really anybody, like my producer always says to do things playfully, like we did when we were kids, and also, to surround yourself with people that you believe are better than you. And I do that 100% in my daily life, like always. And I feel like that also has a huge impact on how I was able to write differently now. And I don't know, do things in a more genuine way, I think, when it comes to like my writing and doing things and saying things that I actually mean.
Yeah, that sounds very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
I was curious when you record all these improvs and noodles and things on your phone for a length of time, do you actually go back and like listen to all of that, or do you like stop it and hit record again when you've hit something good?
Yeah, so you have it
out as a, like, how, yeah, do you find, sometimes, how do you find the gems in all the stuff?
Normally it just happens that way. Like I'll say something while I'm recording and I'm like, ooh, that's cool. And then I'll stop the recording, write it down, and then start a new recording where my idea is now. Okay. It's happening. So like you can tell in my voice memos, like throughout my writing process, like say for Deserve More, the whole writing process is still in my voice memos. So like here I'm just playing the chords of Deserve More, and here it's sort of falling into the strumming pattern and the way that I played it. And then here's me humming and I'm not saying anything yet, but here's me sort of, and you can hear it just sort of fall together in that way. And then the next voice memo is like me singing a lyric that I've written, which is like, go find a new partner. And then all of a sudden it's just kind of spinning like that. And normally for me, it's like once that snowball is rolling, it's really hard to stop. And I think another reason I use like unlined paper and whatever, and like random little methods like that, is because I've learned that like your hand can move, or your brain will move a lot quicker than what your hand can move. I only type out, I only use my laptop for writing when I need a Google document. So if I'm co-writing, I will still write in my own notebook and then put it in a Google Doc after. I can't write on a laptop because it doesn't allow me to do all the other things adjacent from just writing words. So yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like, it's different for every song, but it's also kind of the same idea. It normally happens just by me improvising because I feel something happening, sort of thing.
That's a great way of doing it. I know some people start off with the lyrics, and I've never, lyrics are usually the last thing I do after the whole song has been produced, because I suck at lyrics. some people start off with lyrics, and a lot of people also work the way you do. You just start off with some music, and then like the lyrics will sort of almost come out from the melody, as opposed to, I've always felt if I've started off with the lyrics and I'm trying to jam a lyric into a melody and it doesn't always flow so well for me.
Yeah,
I
was going to say the inverse is true too. If you, I find that if I write the music first and I'm trying to jam the words to fit the music, like either way, you're trying to jam something into something else.
Yeah. I find that like, I do often go back to a lot of my notes and my old writing and stuff. A lot of my songs that I love have come out of like really old journal excerpts that I just found. And it's like, oh, this is a cool, I like this saying. I sometimes, like, another thing that ends up in a lot of my material is when I'm in public, I'm hearing so many conversations at once. And sometimes I'll hear people say something really cool. I have a whole notes app in my phone dedicated to cool things I've heard people say.
Yeah. Right.
And it's just like random quotes and random ideas. And then I don't know, like, I'm always turning back to something that, like, I have written down thinking, like, I'll come back to this when I need it. But oftentimes, it's just me kind of letting it happen cohesively, weirdly enough.
Yeah, yeah. We did a show of I think this was last year with one of our friends from Boston. She teaches at Berklee School of Music out there, Susan Catania. Mm-hmm. And we did an episode on overcoming writer's block, and that was one of the things she recommended is go sit in a food court somewhere and just eavesdrop on people's conversations. Mm-hmm. And jot down some interesting phrases that you hear. Which is kind of a cool idea.
Mm-hmm. And you know, even if you do record these things, and even if you never actually go back to them, the fact that I think you notate them in some way, I think it does kind of put them into your brain in a different way. There's so many different ways of being in the world and different levels of consciousness. And so often we're just kind of, you know, doing things unconsciously. And I think when you write something down, even if you don't use it, and even if you've never actually look at it again, it'll probably still be stuck into your brain so that you can capture it and make use of it or some form of it later, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it's that whole thing of like active versus passive thinking. Right, like, are you actually engaging with the material in some way? It's like studying cover songs or whatever. Are you just listening to them, or are you dissecting them, pulling them apart, rewriting them, and actually engaging with the stuff in some ways? Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think also the point about you said keeping things playful,
which is really
important, and it can be a hard thing to do. Especially when if you're trying to make it as a profession, it's hard to make it playful all the time because sometimes there's more on the table than just having some fun. But definitely a great song. So what do you have planned for this song? Is it what's going to be on an album? Is the album released now, or is it about to?
Yeah, the album's out. I released the album on the 10th, and I've already had my listening party, and I had my album show on the 17th.
Yeah. Oh, nice. And I'm just getting out to all those playlists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is this your first album, or is it sophomore, or was it?
It's my fourth like studio project, but it's my first long play.
Ah, everything else has been EP until this point?
I guess so, technically. I mean, they weren't like short plays, but this is like 9, so I guess technically, yeah.
Sure, sure.
That's a good number, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like those 24 Brack CDs. I don't know. I don't think I want to hear 24 songs by anybody.
So they're all 2 minutes long.
Yeah, that's true.
Okie dokie. All righty. I am here in the band. I think that's all the time we have on the show today. This has been Song Talk Radio. Special thanks to Rachel Cousins. So where can we send our listeners to find out more about you and hear some more songs?
Rachel Cousins Music is all my social media. RachelCousinsMusic.com is my website, and you can find everything there.
Awesome. We'll certainly put a link to that in our show post for this episode. And we want to hear from you too, so please send in your comments on Facebook or Instagram to Song Talk Radio, or send us an email, feedback@songtalk.ca. Once again, please send in your challenge answers for a songwriting challenge by November the 10th. And be sure to check out our YouTube channel for live performance videos and full episodes, and subscribe today to the Song Talk Radio podcast on your favorite podcast provider. And please support us at our Patreon page. You can visit songtalk.ca/support. Thank you to all who have supported us so far. You can find links to all the products, books, and web services we mention on the show on our resources page. That's on the website. And please visit us at our next monthly Song Talk meetup, whether you're in Toronto for our in-person meetups or anywhere in the world for our online meetups. It's free to join on Eventbrite and free to attend. Bring a song and a lyric sheet and get constructive feedback from other songwriters. Stop by songtalk.ca for the link. You can follow me at neomodi.com. You can follow Phil.
PhilEmery.ca.
And Rachel, what's your favorite social media channel? Where do you post the most?
Instagram, which is Rachel Cousins Music.
Awesome. Be sure to follow Rachel there. And be sure to stop by the website, songtalk.ca, to browse past shows and find out how you can be a guest. Thanks for tuning in, and
keep on writing. Right, everyone.